How about that scorching heat and deadly flash floods in Australia? Extreme weather, just the opposite from the recent frigid cold in the U.S. In Australia, January saw the worst heat in the country's history, with temperatures over 120 degrees in parts of the west. So hot that flying foxes, these are bats, falling dead from trees because, and this is terrible, they are frying. The country's Bureau of Meteorology had to create new colors on the weather map to show how hot it's been. And this month has also seen unprecedented flooding. People in Townsville being warned to watch out for crocodiles and snakes spotted in residential areas. Oh, and there are wildfires. Here's a weather forecast on Sky News today.
This trough of low pressure has been sitting over the southeast every single day this week, and it's triggering daily showers and thunderstorms, and we're stuck with a dry easterly airstream along the west coast, which is why Perth is seeing temperatures well above 30 every single day this week. Let's start in northern Queensland.
That's 30 Celsius, well above, and that's something like 86 Fahrenheit and above, which has become the mean temperature in Australia. Amanda Lynch is Professor of Earth, Environment and Planetary Science at Brown University in Rhode Island. She is Australian, though, and joins us now. And Professor, your thoughts, you know, those not familiar with Australia, put this in context.
Well, it's certainly a hot and dry continent, but what we're seeing right now is just a rapid uptick in the extremes. And what's really unusual is that those extremes are not associated with things like El Nino, which is normally the cause of extremes, particularly in eastern Australia.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because we had the extreme cold in the Midwest, and it was attributed to the polar vortex. And it was said that a lot of the weather patterns here in the U.S. in the last few weeks had to do with hot Moroccan air that was trapped up at the pole and was forcing this polar vortex down. And it was being attributed to, you know, the extremes that are attributed to climate change. Is what's happening in Australia the same, but just the opposite?
The dynamics of the system are quite different because of the arrangement of the continents in the southern hemisphere, so that changes things somewhat. The other thing to remember is that Australia is much closer to the equator than the US is. So you need to think about this in terms of the whole country being more like the southern part of the United States. Mm. In that context, the problem that Australia is having is not so much that changing polar vortex is hitting Australia and giving it extremes. The problem that Australia is having is that the polar vortex is missing it altogether. Mm. The rain and moisture that comes with that is not hitting Australia. And as it gets drier, the heat ratchets up.
And as you're watching this, we mentioned the flying foxes. And, you know, we've been hearing about plant life. Obviously, humans are affected by the heat, but they have air conditioning. What are you thinking about as you see these extremes?
The concerns that I have for Australia's long-term future, and by long-term, I mean even just in the next few decades, there are a lot of changes that are happening very rapidly in ways that the natural systems and the human systems can't respond to quickly enough. Some of the first climate change related species extinctions have happened in Australia. We're seeing critical diebacks in the Great Barrier Reef.
When you say that there's extinction, you know, people are talking about insects, plant life, and of course, in the circle of life, you take one piece out and everything gets affected. Are you hearing stories about those kinds of concerns?
The primary concerns that I'm hearing about from my colleagues in Australia are the species that call the Alpine Territories or the southern parts of Australia, particularly in Tasmania. Those species are unable to move anywhere to get away from the heat. You can't go higher up the mountain when you run out of mountain. You can't go further south where it's cooler if you run out of land. There is a type of wallaby, a mountain wallaby, that is facing some difficulties. The problem with calling an extinction, it's a really fraught thing to do because the science part of our heads is saying, you know, you have to be able to absolutely prove there isn't a single living creature out there. And then, of course, the emotional part of it is, have we lost that animal forever? Calling an individual extinction is something that's really fraught in the ecology literature.
Well, it certainly is true that plant and animal life, if not completely extinct, are dying because of this extreme weather. And what are you hearing from people back home? How are they keeping cool? How are they? How concerned are they about what's going on? We've been so focused on the cold that it's so interesting to be reminded about the heat.
My sense is there's a fair amount of frustration in the lack of action over near-term adaptation and also long-term mitigation of greenhouse gas emissions. I think that people are certainly making the link between the fires, the floods and the heat and the climate policies of the government.
We are the frog in the slowly boiling water. Amanda Lynch, Professor of Earth, Environment and Planetary Science at Brown University. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Robin.